The Homeland Security Department's Science and Technology National Labs play a big role in defending the United States against threats anywhere, anytime. The labs conduct research, they test and evaluate new technologies, and now for an inside look, Tom Temin speaks with Jamie Johnson. He's the director of the Office of National Labs at DHS.
And these S&T labs provide capabilities that support the core DHS mission areas in chemical, biological, explosives, and first responders. There are five labs that have these missions and capabilities. There's the National Biodefense Analysis and Countermeasures Center, which is up in Fort Detrick, and they do bioforensic operations and threat characterization research. There's the Plum Island Animal Disease Center, which focuses on the agriculture threat. They do diagnostics and vaccines for foreign animal diseases. And we also have the Transportation Security Lab, which focuses on detection of explosives at the transportation hubs. They evaluate and certify emerging explosive detection technologies. And the last two are the National Urban Security Technology Lab. They do test and evaluation for first responder technologies, and the Chemical Security Analysis Center, which provides timely knowledge products to plan and respond to chemical threats. So these five labs are really critical to covering some of the key core areas that support the DHS mission.
Now, some of these are legacy facilities that the federal government had a long time, like Plum Island and at Fort Detrick. So how have they changed or evolved since the years of becoming part of Homeland Security?
That's a good question. The Plum Island Animal Disease Center was a legacy lab. We actually took that over when DHS was stood up from the United States Department of Agriculture. And since we've gotten it, we've actually have done significant upgrades to the laboratory, making sure it's in safety and security standards. The NBAC lab is different up in Fort Detrick. That's actually the first R&D lab that was stood up by DHS. So that's kind of the opposite end. We've actually built that from the ground up to meet the requirements of the law enforcement and the FBI and the biodefense community.
And what about the one that was to be constructed in Kansas, in connection with the University of Kansas?
Absolutely, yeah. It's Kansas State University. That's the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. We call that NBAP. And that is to replace the aging Plum Island Animal Disease Center. And it will provide critical lab capabilities to protect a huge livestock industry, a $160 billion livestock industry. It will have the first large animal, BSL-4, in the country. We currently do not have that capability that will be able to address the emerging and zoonotic diseases. So we're addressing the animal agriculture and as well as the public health. So that lab is under construction and hopefully will be operational in 2022.
All right. And so what are the top priorities? I mean, you mentioned the areas they're looking at. What's driving them these days right now?
You talk about the MBAF lab in Kansas?
Well, let's start with that one.
Yeah, the lab in Kansas has a number of, we're being driven by several urgencies. One is the aging facility at Plum Island.
Yeah, that goes back to like the turn of the century, the last century, doesn't it?
Correct, yeah. It's 60 years old. It's out of compliance with biocontainment standards, although we are spending money to keep it upgraded. But it also doesn't have the capability to do it. And, as you mentioned, being closer to a university such as Kansas State that already does similar research, we'll be able to develop those synergies and really make this a critical mass, a center for the next 50 years.
And what about the biodefense at Fort Detrick? I mean, what are the chief biohazards that DHS sees right now that you're concentrating on?
Yeah, we do, it's more on the human side. We do two things. We do bioforensic operation 24/7. So good examples. We have in last year we had over 65 investigations of potential biological crimes by federal law enforcement agencies. So this lab up in Fort Detrick was involved in that forensics analysis. The ricin cases that were last year were the NBAC played a major role in those ricin cases, and we also do a lot of what we call research and trying to get scientific data that will help us mitigate the risk to the bio threat.
We're speaking with Jamie Johnson, who is director of the National Labs for Homeland Security. And the explosive detection, that seems to be a moving target also at the Transportation Security Lab, because people find new ways to hide these things and new explosives all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Transportation Security Lab, it really is a key national asset. I mean, the Transportation Security Agency relies heavily on that lab. The focus is to mature, evaluate. We even certified the emerging explosive detection technology. So some of the latest technologies that come out for explosive detection are actually tested at the Transportation Security Lab. Last year, we did over 40 certifications and tests in to help our acquisition for some of our explosive detection systems for checkpoint, check baggage. So TSL had a very key role in that.
The National Urban Security Lab, you talked about the idea of helping first responders, but it seems like that would be a synthesis of everything that you are looking at.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's what's unique about the NuSteel, we call it NuSteel, National Urban Security Technology Lab. It is positioned in New York City, which is a great test bed. We've got great relationships with our first responders, the port authorities, and we're able to inform them. We're able to help them with their evaluations and assessments of technologies that both in the lab and in those operational settings in New York City. So we can do some unbiased and independent tests. So that laboratory is a key player in helping New York City in this detection and security.
And what about the communications interoperability, which has been an ongoing issue even before there was a Homeland Security? Is that part of what's looked at the urban security?
They not significantly. They do have a role in some of that in helping to do some planning and protection and testing out some of that communications equipment.
Okay, so let's get an idea of how Congress has supported all of this, because they can get crabby depending on what else is going on in the government. Has the funding for the lab enterprise been pretty steady?
Yes. Historically, the DHS lab enterprise has been consistently and fully funded, even in the tighter budget years. And we know that Congress has recognized these laboratories as valuable capabilities in supporting the DHS missions, maintaining the facilities, the equipment, the people. I mean, the people really are key. Scientists, operations, does require a yearly sustained investment, but the results pay off. As you can see, we've developed vaccines, we've responded to threats, and so these enduring capabilities have been consistently funded by Congress.
And what about relations with the other national labs? I know there is some collaboration that goes on with the people in the nuclear enterprise, those three big labs. How does that all work?
Yeah, it works very well. Actually, we've got several collaborations. I mean, I'll give you two examples. One, actually, it's going back to the NBAC, the Biodefense Lab in Fort Detrick. That's part of a national interagency biodefense campus. There are other agencies have biocontainment labs up there that also support biodefense research, and we collaborate, making sure we're working on the most strategic areas of biodefense research. So the Army, the Navy, USAMRIDS up there, the NIH is up there, and so that collaboration of laboratories it's partnered together to form the Research Confederation. So that has worked extremely well. We also do partner with the DOE National Labs. That is part of my other job here in the Office of National Labs, is to establish those partnerships. So where we don't have that capability in our own labs, we partner with the DOE labs. And, of course, they're much more robust in terms of their funding. And so we use the labs to help some of our, for example, some of our big data challenges that we face in DHS. So some of the labs have helped us identify what those problem sets are and propose solutions forward.
And so what are you hoping for in 2015? Because now that's when people are thinking about all those budgets.
Yeah, in 2015, we've submitted the budget where it's on the Hill, and we think we're going to receive our full funding, obviously, when Congress acts. I should point out, funding-wise, too, the funding to build the new NBAP in Kansas is also being proposed by the administration. We had $404 million approved in 2014 and $300 million in 2015. So from operational of the lab to new construction, the outlook is pretty good.